Have you recovered yet from Monday night?
I didn't have opportunity to say thank you for all of you who put a lot of time, energy to organize such a beautiful function that express the Dhamma in the artwork, in your songs, in your performance, in the Dhamma talk on the stage and behind the scene. A lot of practice, a lot of time. So we like to rejoice with all of your unconditional love that try to help many people to find their inner happiness. Second, I would like to say thank you for Unibat and many members who helped to support Long Po Swat until he got a permanent resident visa last month. Really lucky that by all of your unconditional love and supporting letters, and many of you that even though sometimes I cannot match the names of your face yet, but I believe that many of us here in this room and even the, what do you call, EXCO, also wrote many beautiful letters until the previous Minister of Immigration grant the permission to be a very rare case for him to stay in Australia permanently. Even though we asked supporting letters from many temples, and luckily we have quite a big number of supporting letters from many Buddhist temples all around Australia, except two big temples. First, Chan Pram Wangso in Perth, because his legal committee advised us that impossible, because they have many European monks who can't stay in Perth longer. They have every 2 years visa finish and they have to go. So they say impossible. He should pack up and go home. Second, from Nan Tien Temple, the abbess told me that impossible. You cannot win immigration. So better pack up and go home. So when two big temples say no like this, but we never lose our heart. So we still have many friends in smaller temples and many letters from people who participate in our meditation retreat. Send a lot of these inspiring letters until the Minister of Immigration those days called Peter Dutton, before he got into trouble. So he said, okay, let him stay back. So since then, the government changed, a lot of problems happened. So his case will be inspiring case for all the other Buddhist monasteries, because now in Australia, we have about 12 Buddhist temples, Thai temples, and four a kind of Dhamma center for Thai people. Unfortunately, 14 out of these 16 centers, four temples now already have no more abbots, because the head monk cannot have permanent resident visa. It's a law, federal law. So four temples just have to have temporary monk stay and extend every 2 years. So this is one of the big problems for Buddhist temples in Australia. So his case, Lompas Wat case, will be inspiring case for many other temples to should put more energy in helping the society, and like what we try to do, and also cooperation from many other small monasteries. Because many of you who visit monastery Bananun before, we can see that we have open policies. We have many friend monks from Tibetan, Korea, Japan, Vietnamese, Laos, Burma, and many friend monks in other school of Buddhism. So I think that bring the unity and recognized by the government. So we hope that his case will be another study case for cooperation and helping together with unconditional love with one another. And the next one is that we can see this time many monks here. When you have winter retreat, it's only me and Lompo Swat, correct? So these four new monks just arrived on 25th of July for the rains retreat in Thurat tradition. They come to stay with us for 3 months and going to extend visa another 3 months under our special training programs that we inspire them to study English and to give Dhamma talk in English and learn to teach meditation in English. As we are aware that in Thailand, the monks can't speak English that well. In Australia, we have 16 Buddhist centers or temples. It's only 3 monks who can give Dhamma talk in English. Jokun Samai, me, and the other one I still don't know. Or the other can't. And so this is why I feel myself that we need to do something to improve the life skill of monks. So we invite them all to be here. And of course, we do everything by ourselves. Even though we don't have government support, we have no problem. We use our little bit donation in a box to pay for all their tickets and visa. So since they arrive here, they learn to speak English. We have volunteer English teachers. And also, not only learn to talk in English, they have to learn life skill that we are lack of in Thailand. So they already managed how to operate forklift, chop the firewood, and a lot of labor works that slowly understand Australian way of life. Then we can pass the Dhamma into the right place, the right time, to the right people. And for today, before we I start the Dhamma talk on this topic, I would like to invite Pramaha Suthipong from Bangkok, from Wat Awut Wikasitaram. The second monk is Prachirawat. He spent time in India walking from Dharamsala to Ladakh in the past 3 years. Next one is Pramaha Virut from Bangkok as well. Next one is Pramaha Seksan from Bangkok. And you know Long Pa Swat, they stay here in Bananun. So for tonight, Pramaha Suthipong to give a little bit Dhamma talk that related to this topic. And we're going to explain more the Four Noble Truths that the Buddha said, that realization of the Four Noble Truths helps us to be free from this past, present, and future. Because the Four Noble Truths talking about the power of Dhamma itself, that what ties us from past, present, and future. Realizing Four Noble Truths, we are able to understand how what links all of this, and not only what links and ties us all, what to break them all. We don't want to have any more future. It's really scary words in the material world, say that, Pramana, you have no future. In Dhamma teaching is good. But in university, say you have no future. Something wrong, correct? So Four Noble Truths is going to explain that why no future is better than future. Okay, Pramana, let you stand here. All right, you stand, I'll let you sit.
Good morning, everyone.
Evening, sorry.
That's a joke.
Thank you.
Evening, everyone. How are you today? Today, I'm very happy to talk Dhamma for everyone. And thank you to invite us to talk Dhamma. Today I would like to talk about the Four Noble Truths, you know. So why we have to know about Four Noble Truths? Because for reasons, the Four Noble Truths is the very important Dhamma that the Buddha taught Panchavalkya, you know. Panchavalkya or five follower after the Lord Buddha talked already, one of them can understand clearly and become an enlightened one, as the Lord Buddha. The second reason, the Four Noble Truths is like a principle or concept. What is concept? Concept of the true, the natural truth that the Buddha taught. So when we have to know about the noble truth, we can to learn about the mind and listen Dhamma talk in the right way. Correct? And the first noble truth, tukha in Bali language, is unsatisfactoriness. Actually, everyone have to be two things, happy or unhappy. Every time, like today, we are here. Someone have very happy, someone don't have happy because of in the mind, because of the deep in the mind. So why the Lord Buddha talk about the unsatisfactoriness? Because many people love happy, hate unhappy, correct? Yes. And when we have happy, we don't care about anything because I'm feel happy. Correct? That's why the Lord Buddha taught about unsatisfactoriness, because everyone have to fight, have to fight. That's everyone don't lie about the unhappy or unsatisfactoriness. For example, in our monastery, we have one cat. He's so cute. His name is Chokni. Chokni is mean very lucky. Yes. When he live alone, he very happy because the monk give the food. The layman or the people came to monastery and give the food for Chokni cat. And a few days, the wombat came in front of the kitchen, and took the cat see wombat, very little upset. Yeah, because this area is mine. Yeah, this area is mine. It's me. Yeah, and a few days, is another animal. Wallaby, yeah. Wallaby came in front of the kitchen for eat carrot or many foods, and Chokni see very upset and angry, but can't do anything because Wallaby bigger than him. Yes, that's why we have to know about the unsatisfactoriness. And the next one. Second noble truth, in Bali language it called samuthai, is the cause of unsatisfactoriness. Like we say about the cat, the Chokni cat upset or angry, like we are, when we have to know about the unsatisfactoriness, we have to know about the cause or origination of unsatisfactoriness. So what is the cause of unsatisfactoriness? So include three things. One, anger. Yes, anger. Two, delusions. Three, greedy. And three is the defilements have the big boss, you know. Big boss is the ignorance. So ignorance is the very big boss, because many people don't know how to know what should we know. Yes. And the next subject, Nirodha. Nirodha is mean the end of unsatisfactoriness. So Nirodha in the Bali language is mean empty or free from unsatisfactoriness or unhappy. Yes, this is concept. So, and another way that we can understand, like, we have the goal. Oh, I think everyone in here like to travel or like to go to Bondi Beach, correct? Mm. Yes. When we have the goal, like we have to go to the Bondi Beach. For what? Because Bondi Beach is very beautiful and very popular in the world, correct? Yes, many people around the world came here and, yeah, okay, we go to the Bondi Beach. Yes. And the end of unsatisfactoriness is like the goal. We have to set the goal for myself. Just like when we study the university, we have the goal for ourselves, correct? And the last one, the part of the end of unsatisfactoriness. So when we have the goal already, we have to prepare about the truth. Like when we want to go to the Bondi Beach, we have to go to by car or by train or by bicycle. Someone can go to the Bondi Beach by walking. Yeah. This is the purpose. And when we have purpose, we have to prepare how to overcome purpose or the goal. And the Buddha talked about the truth that we can overcome attachment is called Noble Eightfold Path. Yes. So the Four Noble Truths that we have to know, because we have to learn about the mind, our mind, because every suffering or unsatisfactoriness almost mostly happen from the mind. Also, when we have to know about the Four Noble Truths, we keep the mind by be mindful, because we can observe every single day, every single activity. Sometimes we feel good, sometimes we feel relaxed. Like when we go to the Bondi Beach, we feel happy, good, relaxed. And sometimes when we have to work hard, oh, very, very tired. Yes. And we can observe ourselves, because we have to be mindful every time. When we have to be mindful, we can manage the mind how free from unsatisfactoriness. That's why the Lord Buddha talked about the Four Noble Truths, because everyone can understand about the unsatisfactoriness. Yes. And the Four Noble Truths that the Buddha taught is very important. So also, when we learn about the Four Noble Truths, we can apply to ourselves. Correct? We can apply to ourselves. The one of the eightfold path, I can talk with right understanding. Right understanding is the first of eightfold path. Why the Lord Buddha talked about right understanding at first? Because we have to understand clearly about the mind and the body. So we have to understand for what? Because the mind or consciousness is changed all the time. Correct? When we say about the mind, so the mind include the four functions. Four functions. First, feelings, thoughts, perceptions, and consciousness. So everyone have to our consciousness change all the time. Like when our consciousness see the beautiful things, what happens? Oh, like when we see the beautiful flower, what happened? We want to know. We want to take it, beautiful flower, collect. And then when we want to take it, take beautiful flower, it means craving in our mind alive. When craving in our mind alive, what happened? We need this, we need that. That's why we have to do very hard sometimes. Yes. And then we have to know about the consciousness, because consciousness is very important things. Also, I think thank you very much for everyone who interest about the Dhamma of the Lord Buddha. Thank you for your attention. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you for Master Jufun. Good. Maybe I move this one out a bit.
We don't talk about this later.
What tie them all? Past, present, future, the Four Noble Truths, and that Dhamma wheel. How can we explain about this? From the ancient world until now, we have this big problem. The problem of consciousness itself. That people believe that consciousness will travel from past life, present life, and into the future. So Egyptians mummify the body in order to make sure that in the future we are going to be happy. People create a tomb and do a lot of construction like a pyramid because we would like future consciousness, future life to be happy. Many other religions in the world, we talk about after death, if we have done a lot of good things enough, we should be born in the heaven, and hopefully heaven is a happy place. So it seems that from the ancient time until now, we emphasize a lot about future. Until there are some school of Buddhism said that in this present life, it doesn't matter how hard you practice the Dhamma, you will never be free from the circle of birth and death. better pray, call the name of the Buddha, and future life, you can practice and be free. So why we have big problem about this future all the time? So come back to the Four Noble Truths of Paramahasudipam. Yesterday is so bad. That's why today try to do something good. But if present today still feel so terrible, maybe tomorrow. Not sure yet. Because it's tomorrow. Last girlfriend, pain in the neck. Today girlfriend, not so satisfied. Future girlfriend, not sure with. So we can see the problem happen that move us, drive us, looking for future. Now we can identify really clear. It is unsatisfactoriness itself. In Pali language, we call dukkha. In English, unhappiness, stress. Yesterday we were so stressed. Today, that's why we try to work hard today, in order not to be stressful. But if today is still stressful, we try to looking for tomorrow. We will no stress. So anxious last year. So this year we try not to be a victim of anxiety. Hopefully that next year will be better. Old shoes from 2 years ago create pain. So that's why today have a new pair of shoes. But if this pair of shoes create pain again, tonight shopping. New pairs of shoes. So we could see the problem that makes us always looking for our future is that for the truth, number one, unhappiness in the mind, unsatisfactoriness, and our instinct of survival, that when we're still alive, no one enjoys painful lifestyle at all. Nobody enjoy to live in a very terrible state and stressful every day, unhappy every day. Nobody want to live. Except we pass away already, then finish. But if we're still alive, we would like not to experience unhappiness. So this is an instinct. Instinct that drives us. If we come across some problems, our instinct we make us how to end that problem. So we call this instinct in the Pali language as the word atta. In English, called self or ego. Atta, self. I. Me, my. I'm not happy because my previous, my ex-boyfriend, not so polite. And this present boyfriend, polite but quite lazy. Next, I'm looking for a new boyfriend. But not so sure that he not going to be not polite and he not going to be lazy. Again, it's all about atta, self, for my own pleasure, for my own happiness. So if I have this boyfriend, this one going to be happy. But if this boyfriend walk too slow, this one not happy. If this boyfriend don't have that six packs, this one may not be happy. So all come to here. That drive us, self, ego or atta. This is the instinct of survival. We can't blame ourselves. It is instinct since we were microorganism in the ocean. If we were in the ocean and we didn't experience this, there's no more evolution. Finish. Correct? Evolution happened because microorganism is like this and try to swim until become fish. And be a fish, still not happy, then become crocodile. Crocodile not happy, become kangaroo. Kangaroo not happy, become monkey. Monkey not happy, become apes. Apes not happy, become Homo sapiens. And what happened if Homo sapiens not happy? Become... Evolution didn't stop yet. It still keep on going. Human beings, Homo sapiens, just arrived in this world, I think less than a million years ago. Correct? All the other species were millions of years. So we still in evolution. We still can change. And change to which direction? It depends on this present moment. Because yesterday headache is yesterday. But if today headache, today we're going to look for tomorrow. If today bigger headache than yesterday, we drive more, push more for tomorrow. So it depends on the present moment. The past gone, we learn from our lesson. But if we don't learn from the lesson, it's going to be like this. Atta, self, ego, just for I, me, mine. That is a problem. That what tie us and make us travel all around places, if we can separate, it become the word I, me, mine. So this is why Buddhist teachings don't talk about where we should go in the future, and this one be in. Because if we still carry this one with us, from the ex-boyfriend, the current boyfriend, and the new boyfriend to come, if we still hold this one with us, they are going to be going to experience the same headache. The same headache. If you wake up in the morning and ask, darling, where is my coffee? And the first ex-girlfriend give you the wrong coffee, kick him up. Now this current boyfriend, darling, where is my coffee? Oh, right coffee, good. But if tomorrow wrong coffee, kick out again. So we can see that Buddhist teaching, that's why we don't want to talk about what can make this I, me, my happy. Because not only that, it's hard to read our own mind. Even I, me, my change every day. Change a lot. Every single day, our feelings change. Our emotions change. Our demand changes all the time. I remember that when I became monk first time 30 years ago, I knew I drank coffee. You see, why you drink coffee? Poison into your body. I just hot chocolate. But now, where's my coffee? And Thailand coffee is very sweet, correct? Have you been in Thailand? Coffee is very sweet. Put condensed milk and put a lot of ice. We call ice coffee. And now, today, coffee. No, half sugar. Half sugar. Not that sweet. So even this I, me, my feeling, thought of like change constantly. So we have no hope. If someone give this monk today a coffee machine with little bit sugar, can be happy only today. Tomorrow I may change again. Who knows, correct? So it's hard to predict. That's why Buddhist teachings not focus outside these three words. Not focus outside I, me, mine. But to solve the problem in the right spot, that's how the Four Noble Truths come in. You come into this word, Atta, self, ego. What create that I, me, mine? Rather than try to find the perfect boyfriend, perfect girlfriend to make this I, me, mine happy forever. So it becomes the Dhamma study comes inwards, come inside our own mind. So now the Buddha put into the systematical research, bit by bit, by getting to know that what makes us waiting or expect for tomorrow is one word. This word would like to be happy. Now there are two things. I, second, happiness. If we understand these two words, we will be a lot better. I and happiness. It is like the dart. You got the dart. And you must have a jackpot center. And you got what you call this one? That we throw in. The dart and this target. So there's two things. I. Happiness. When we are going to hit the jackpot, and hopefully we'll be happy forever. And that's why we keep on looking for the future. Now we stop searching for that and start to study the word I. Second, the word happiness. So let us study about the word happiness. Where is that happiness? So we say happy feeling. But we are aware that feeling is just one part of the mind. In our life, many of us may be young, but it doesn't mean that if you are only 20 years old, you don't have enough experience in life. No. Little boy, little girl in the time of the Buddha, 7 years old, already attained enlightenment. Only 7 years old have enough experience to transform the word happiness into peacefulness. So it depends on how we observe happiness. We can see the worldly happiness that we have all impermanent, change all the time. Some of us here try to study in university because we would like to have good degree, good grade. And we hope that we have a good job and hope that good job going to bring income and hope that that income bring happiness. Some of us experience already that it necessarily means in that direction at all. It depends on conditions of the world. So graduation from any university does not mean happiness is here. Many of us may experience that. Second, people who practice meditation regularly may feel calmness of mind, relaxation of mind during meditation is happiness. But we can see it never lasts long time. Happiness, relaxation in meditation lasts a little bit and disappear. I have been practicing meditation before I became a monk. If altogether almost 40 years, become a monk for 30 years. All that calmness, relaxation in meditation all disappear. They never be here forever. It comes because the mind is calm. So we feel calm and relaxed. When we do something else, we lost that calmness. So the nice feeling disappeared too. So we understand it's on and off all the time. So now we start to see that happiness that we're thinking for material things, money, car, house, so impermanent. Happiness from the calmness of mind, relaxation itself also in Bamaneng. So that target become mirage. We try to hit the target, like many of us try to study really hard. Hope that with good education, happiness here. But like many of these graduate people, Daniel, graduate already, and few of us here, may be aware that no, it is mirage, may or may not. But it is very risky if we rely on this worldly happiness all the time. So this is one thing that we start to discover that no, don't run to this target. It is mirage. So uncertain, the happiness of the world. Now we should channel into the word I itself. Now the problem is then where I can put this dart, this arrow, where I should hit. So the problem is that who said that you have the dart all the time and why you have to throw it? Instead of looking for the right target, why you have to throw it? Because this, unhappy. I'm not happy now. That's why I have to throw myself into the nightclub looking for the six-pack boys. Okay. I'm not happy enough. If I'm happy enough, I stop. If I'm happy with my shoes, I stop. If I'm happy with my cars, I stop buying a new one, unless it breaks down. So the problems come to that dart or the word I itself, which explains unhappiness in the very present moment. So now four noble truths come in. What is the origin of unhappiness? In the past, we can study. 10 years ago, I really upset because someone borrowed my money and never returned. 30 years ago, I was really upset because I fought against my own cousin. 45 years ago, I'm very angry with my younger brother playing my toys and broke my toys. All that past memory, unhappiness, may be a little bit too far out because we can't see it that clear. So now, come here. In the very present moment, are you happy or you're not happy? Now it's clearer because it just happened here today in the present moment. And if it's going to be much better, we should talk about in this hour, 8 minutes to eight. Are you happy or you're unhappy? We don't talk about 7:30, how do you feel? We talk about 8 minutes to eight, how do you feel now? Because feeling that happened now is really clear for us to study. What happened to us this morning is gone already. Today is the second day we bring all the monks to Sydney since they arrived Australia a month ago. Australia in their dream is Opera House, Harbour Bridge, lights, Sydney Tower, and they see only kangaroo, wombats, trees in Bananoon. So this is the second time they see Sydney. And lucky the weather is quite nice in the morning. And then this evening, on the way here, heavy rain. So if we talk about that, are you happy? The happiness in the morning may already gone. Oh, I have to think first what made me happy this morning. But if we talk about now, it's clear. Now I'm happy because outside is so wet and here dry. So we can talk very clear in a very present moment. So the practice of the study of Four Noble Truth, talking about in the present moment. Don't worry about yesterday. It's too far. Not even this morning. Don't worry about stress from last year. Don't worry mistake we did 10 years ago. Don't feel too guilty of yourself. Don't feel too bad of our wrong actions in the past. Whatever happened, it happened already, it's gone. So now concentrate in a very present moment. That why this unhappiness happened in our mind. In conclusion, we said that I, me, my is here. Then we have to investigate that why Atta is here. Why I feel I, me, my here all the time. Actually, the good news. This, even this word, not happen all the time. Sometimes it disappears. Occasionally, when we forgot ourselves. Sometimes, for example, last week, I and Pra Jirawat traveled to Mossville we did something in the town, go to Home Hardware. On the way, we saw one disabled lady in the disabled car. What do you call the car? Disabled car? Stuck in the mud, almost fell down on the road. So we stopped the car and tried to run immediately to help that lady, to rescue that lady, almost fell on the road and her head may hit the road and that can be quite a bad injury. There are some cars follow us because we push the brake suddenly and stop the car. But once the driver saw us, what happened, what we did, the driver not comment anything, not angry, because they see what we try to do to help someone. So we can see that that driver at that moment who follow us don't have this word at that time. Don't think of themselves because they see something that someone need to help. So there's no I, me, my. Instead of being angry, not get angry. Many times it happened to us that sometimes we have to queue up in supermarket and some people just cut in front of us. We don't mind, correct? I think it happened to many of us in some occasions that we don't mind. Someone did something that should not be done, but we don't mind. So we don't get upset. So if we look carefully in that particular moment, the word I, me, my is zero. That's how we experience no unhappiness at that moment. This one gone. Correct? But in the same action that happened, but that day we are busy with something and someone took our spot, we can be very angry because this is my spot. I'm driving here. In the same action. So we can say that our consciousness that form the word I, me, my, or atta, or attachment to self is not there permanently. It's on and off. It depends on many other conditions and factors, and we call dependent origination. I think you're familiar with this word, correct? Dependent origination means conditions and factors. What make I, me, my happen, we call as attachment. Because of attachment, that's why that word happened. And why we have attachment? It is because of desire. Desire. We like it. We want it. That's why attachment, that I happen. Me and my happen. And what make desire happen? We don't desire all the time. In particular in Bananoon, we have less desire because feeling is less. When we have less nice feeling, we have less desire. If we have no nice feeling, no desire, no attachment. Why in Bananoon we have less problem? Because our contact is less. Our eyes, we can't see David Jones, so we have no problem. We can't see the beautiful car in a muddy road,
no problem with the car. We can't really listen here any music because the Wi-Fi connection is really bad in the monastery. All the young monks say Bangkok is much better than Australia. Or the internet is dinosaur speed. So that is why we have less contact. So when we have less seeing thing, whatever object, beautiful object, create less chance to be happy. So we have less desire because we don't see them. If we see the divisions every day, maybe bigger problem. But because we're very far away, contact. But if we are in Sydney and contact is full scale, so what make contact all of this attachment to happen? We call consciousness itself. Because the consciousness not really educated. If we have good educated consciousness or awakened consciousness, we see some beautiful thing. We are aware of nice feeling. We are aware of our own desire. So we can prevent any attachment to have I, me, my happen. And we're not going to suffer. But because of this consciousness, not well trained. So what makes this consciousness not well trained? We call ignorance. So now eventually we understand clear that what make unhappiness happen is I, me, my, or ego. But it not always happen, it's on and off all the time. Because it depends on all these mechanisms. So we cannot afford to let the mind be free from this mechanism occasionally. Because sometimes people come with surprise. If it's good surprise, it's no problem. If it's bad surprise, it's headache. But the whole world is full of surprise. Correct? And that is why they call breaking news. Always breaking heart. Breaking news means breaking heart. Always come with surprise. So we know that we can't afford at all because it's too bad to be so stressful, to be so depressed for a long time. This is why Buddhist teaching talking about this. How we can gradually stop this mechanism so unhappiness will disappear. So we say that the practice of Noble Eightfold Path or the practice of the Dhamma must help to overcome ignorance. And what does it mean, ignorance? Means that I don't know what I should know. That's called ignorance. Ignorance creates problem. For example, I have problem with the chainsaw. I can't start the chainsaw. And the chainsaw, if it starts, is so blunt. I can't cut the firewood. So I have problem with using the blunt chainsaw to cut the firewood. Can see only the smoke come out. An hour gone, still can't cut any wood. Because I have no idea about how chainsaw working. I don't know how to sharpen the chainsaw. Ignorance. Until Prajirawat come, say, please, Prajirawat, read the manual. Because I don't read the manual, so I don't know how to sharpen the chainsaw. So he read the manual, slowly sharpen the chainsaw. Now, my unhappiness with the chainsaw disappear. Because I can cut a lot of wood happily. So the problem of unhappiness is I don't know what I should know. So before Pramana used the chainsaw, Pramana should read that manual. Read instruction first. Many monks here have no experience in life, operating the forklift, for example, or even cooking the food. So we have ignorance about cooking food. That's why hunger is our big problem. Until we learn how to cook food, then hunger has no problem at all. So now we can see that if we don't know what we should know about this life, that's why this life ends up in problem.
So what we should know in that case? The Buddha say, know your body, know your feeling, know your memory, know your thoughts, know your consciousness, the five aggregates, all six sense doors, all different origination. All the Dhamma teaching is all about to know this body and to know this mind. So now we slowly see, pinpoint that what we should know about the body. We like to say that this physical body, we try the best, we technology in the world let us know about the body, so we don't be worried about getting to know the body. But we should focus on our own mind. And here, since we have this mechanism already, so we should make good use of it. We should know that consciousness is so impermanent, like monkey. Jump all the time, from eyes, ear, nose, tongue. In meditation earlier, we said that watch the flow of breath, stay in the present moment. But we know that only sometimes consciousness comes back to this room. The other time consciousness gone, back to apartment, gone to shopping, gone to movie. So we can see this consciousness is really not listening to this 100%. So we slowly see something that we call anatta, non-self. We slowly start to explain the word anatta. Now we can see the word anatta, opposite to the word atta. Atta means self, anatta means not self. Here means that you can't control it. It does not listen to us 100%. So our meditation should help us, let us know now, in this hour, 6 minutes past eight, consciousness is impermanent. Consciousness does not listen to us 100%. This is what we should know. In the past, we don't know, but now we should know. And we should not know by intellectual level, because intellectual level never work. Like you know the map, but you never travel. Like you know the cooking, how to cook, but you never do it. So the theory, the knowledge that's stuck in this gray matter can't help to remove this attachment. So in Buddhist teaching, we translate the word knowledge. The knowledge must come with experience, so we call wisdom. So let's say that we should have wisdom about our own consciousness right here now at 9 past 8. Now in this moment, consciousness is impermanent. Consciousness is anatta. This is what we should know. Next, we can study contact is impermanent. We should know that I is so impermanent. We should have wisdom that form is impermanent. We should know that this building deteriorates. We should know that one day this building is going to collapse because it's impermanent. So we should know that our eyes, ear, nose, tongues, and the mind itself so impermanent. We're getting old all the time. Our eyesight, we're losing our eyesight all the time. Ability to listen, we're getting deaf every day. This is what we should know. Keep that knowledge in our mind. And we should know that feeling is impermanent. Feeling is not self. It depends on condition and factors. Feeling does not listen to anybody. It depends on many things. So happiness depends on many things. So we should know whenever happy feeling that happens right here and now. Now in this room is quite dry, nice. But we should know that this nice feeling is impermanent. It's going to end when Prananda finish talk and go out in the rain. It ends. And we can't say that you should be happy like in the lecture room, in the rain like that. We can't bring this warm feeling back when we walk in the rain. So we should know right now, don't bring the feeling from this morning to study. It's too far out.
is blur already. Pick up the feeling that happening right here, right now. The desire is impermanent. Desire is not self. Or whatever like that we used to like, now we don't like anymore. Whatever desire that we used to have, now we stop that desire. And don't talk about like or desire this morning. Now, you like it. Now, you like this kind of weather. You like this kind of chair. You like this kind of feeling. Now, this like is so impermanent. This like does not listen to us. It depends on condition and factors. So, by getting to know all of this mechanism, that is how we can see that no way that consciousness will grab the word attachment. No way. Because consciousness can see by itself. In particular, this word. Feelings. Consciousness can see clear. Feeling is so impermanent. Happy feeling is short life. Beyond our direct control. So that's how consciousness don't want to expect happy feeling to be here forever. And consciousness will not form attachment to this feeling because consciousness know wholeheartedly it will disappear. Like the rain. In Sydney, when it rains, some people complain. Even the noon, we're waiting for rain. We so happy, jump of joy. All the wombat kangaroo happy when it rains. When it does not rain, they have problem. They always come to the kitchen all the time, looking for more carrots, more orange. And if you leave some bread, cookie, chocolate outside, they just eat them all. And not only outside, if you can push the door, they go into the kitchen, they eat everything. And kangaroo now learns how to sneak into the office. When Kim stop there and don't shut the door properly, kangaroo push in and eat chocolate and use internet. So we can say that rain makes someone happy, and rain makes someone unhappy, but all these ones are so impermanent. Rain and not rain, rain and not rain. So we have to understand, realize happy feeling is impermanent. It depends on many conditions and factors. And that's why our consciousness, clever enough, because clever enough, don't want to attach, don't want to expect, because they know that that is heartbreaking trap. We put the trap for ourselves. So this is how this word slowly disappears. When this word domino effect disappear, desire, once we don't want desire, we just feel nice, happy, but you don't want to put desire to get more. We understand that it happened because of condition and factors. So someone have to explain a lot. Pamana, you're happy today. You're happy today because sightseeing today. You're happy today because of yamcha this morning. This is why you smile today, okay? From now you understand why you're happy today. But yamcha is so impermanent. Sydney Harbour boat ride is impermanent. The weather is so impermanent. So you understand, Pramana, it's so impermanent, your happiness. If you come back to Sydney tomorrow, you think that you're going to have the same yamcha. The same harbor, boat ride again, the same nice weather again. If you expect that, then Pramana come tomorrow will be heartbroken. The restaurant closed. So that's how someone have to educate Pramana. Don't expect, but explain that it depends. Pramana, it depends on condition and factors. So it become wisdom that don't want to put desire, expectation. And that's why we experience no desire. I don't want to want it. Follow me? I don't want to want it. Because if I do want to want it, I'm in trouble. I don't want to want it. I try my best to be happy. I don't want to want it because the word want, desire, bring that attachment, in trouble all the time. 2 weeks ago, we said that our training program for the young monks, for the new monk, is to study Australian nature, including whale watch. So we said, okay, tomorrow is our English excursion. Just excuse ourselves, sightseeing. What we call English excursion. Go to see the whale in Jervis Bay. And in order to make the monk excited, we send the photograph from their website. A big humpback whale jump next to the boat. You can see. Send the photograph to the monks. Oh, they expect the boat. You can see a humpback whale big like a building. Please jump on the water. So when we went there, get the boat out. Half an hour. There's a whale. No signal. Then the captain said, oh, we saw the whale, we saw the whale. We go out of the bay to the ocean, to the big ocean, open ocean, another 15 minutes. Where's the whale? And two young monks start to have seasick. Oh, whale, no whale, I don't know. And then 45 minutes later, oh, we saw that whale. Baby one. This size? In a photograph, it's this big. You see the baby, see only the back of the baby on the long distance. So some monks say, quite disappointing. Because the advertising say big, humpback whale, the reality is this big. So we could see that expectation hurt the feeling. And the sailors try to please us, go along the ride. Okay, we can show you more and operate the boat going to the other direction of the bay in order to please other passengers. But two monks got a seasick. So when they going to stop and take us back? So we can see the problems of unhappiness is our own desire. On our expectation. Now we know. Once we don't want anymore, all this mechanism collapse. And that is why we don't want future. Because if we want to want something, that means future. Now I don't want now. Now, I don't want anything now, because want itself is problem, desire and attachment is a problem. Now, the boyfriend that you have, six pack or one pack, doesn't matter. You don't want to want anymore, so he can have half pack left, no problem. Because the problem is not about his six-pack or one-pack. The problem is our own desire and our own attachment. Who knows? The husband who have only one-pack, very generous. Correct? Very kind, hard-working, always say, darling, how are you? Always serve you coffee, dinner, lunch, whatever. But he have only one-pack. Correct? So we can see now the problem is our own desire and our own attachment that make us unhappy in the very present moment. But once we remove this one out in the very present moment, this one gone. And we call it the end of unsatisfactoriness. I'd like to introduce this new English word to you. Okay? It's not in any dictionary in the world. It's a Pragmana dictionary. I create this new word because the word suffering not fit in with the word dukkha in Buddhist teachings. The word dukkha means you're not satisfied enough. Elon Musk, you know him? He's very wealthy, correct? Powerful, but he still experiences stress. So we call him, he still have that unsatisfactoriness. Even though we all love to be like him, but we know that he experiences that unhappiness. But now, we put the end to desire attachment, and that's why it becomes the end of unsatisfactoriness. At the end of unsatisfactoriness in the very present moment, right here and right now. In the present moment now, we feel nothing push our consciousness to have desire and attachment. Because the same thing that push us, that if we don't have this happy feeling, if someone take away that, take our happy feeling away, we change the reaction to be really angry. So greedy, angry came from feelings, happy feeling. Once we understand this one and we don't divert our energy into that direction, that's how we finish. We stop this energy. So we experience that end of unsatisfactoriness, not in the future. Must be right here, right now. And that's why now we experience end of problem. When we experience end of problem now, there's no need to talk about future. Correct? No need to mention about it at all. So understand this teaching well, it answers the question of rebirth, reincarnation, the law of karma, what will happen to me after I die. All of these questions are not significant anymore. Because now you know that 8:20 PM, we experience this, and we know how to do it. We know we don't want this thing to happen. Because when this thing not happen, the end, and the end of unhappiness itself, called Nirvana or Nibbana, or inner peace. So it must happen in the present moment, right here, right now, in this room. So now we understand clear. Future has nothing to do. It's just in this very present moment. Now the question is that how we are going to have wisdom to replace ignorance. How we going to do it? That's why I bring this toy. Oh, we got Dr. Harry is here. Correct, Harry? You know what is this? This is anatomy class. Our head, smiling. Our nose. Oh, sorry, no nose. The breath come in and separate into left lung and right lung. So, I think if we study anatomy like this, we love to study anatomy because it's so cute. So this is all about to end that problem. How we going to transform our lungs to be full of flowers? We call flower lungs. Flower lungs and smile. This is about anapanasati. How to breathe and the flower blossom in these lungs and represent happiness. When your lungs full of flower, it's so happy, not cancer, okay? It's happiness. It's a happy lung. Because every time we breathe in, a lot of happiness come into this body, a lot of happiness into this mind. Every single breath, like you see the flowers, like you decorate yourself with the flowers,
In many countries, ladies always decorate themselves with flowers, correct? In Thailand, they put a jasmine, they put a roses, they put a lot of flowers in the body because flowers and fragrance so happy. And now you put a flower into your own lungs. How's about that? Go wherever you go, and you don't need to put the water, just breathe. Breathe properly, flowers blossom in our body and our heart. This is called mindfulness with breathing. The Buddha instructed a technique to end this problem by studying the whole mechanism as we are breathing in and breathing out. So we slowly observe the breath. From a very short breath, we know that it's not pleasant. So we try to refine the breath. Try to have deep, smooth breath. If we sit under the tree and feel nice, deep, smooth breath, then keep on sitting. If it's too noisy, move into another location until we have nice, smooth breath. Or if we're sitting, have many sleepiness or other thoughts come in, then go out to do walking, body beach, walking, nice, breathe in and out, until our breath becomes deeper, smoother, and clearer. So we establish relaxation, calmness of mind. So if we can look into the lungs of that person, we can see flower blossom into their lungs because they can have very deep breath. And each deep breath bring the happiness in. So they finish part one. Part two, we need to have these beautiful lungs breathing in and out, feel so nice, feel so relaxed, feel so happy, and make good use of this happiness here. Happiness. Make good use of these happy lungs, happy breath, to observe even this nice, relaxed feeling in each breath is impermanent too. It started to change. Relaxation, walking along the Bondi Beach, walking around Bronte Beach, Mary Beach, whatever beach that you walk, all that relaxation impermanent. It disappears. As well as sitting meditation, calmness of mind disappear. Now it happens as we still breathing in and out. And we say that when we practice Vipassana meditation, realize the truth, it must happen in this present moment. That means now, if we are breathing in now, we should have wisdom that this in-breath is impermanent, beyond direct control. When we are breathing out now, we should have wisdom that it is impermanent, not 100% under control. So it should happen right here, that we still breathing in and feel happy and realize it is impermanent. Breathing out, happiness here, impermanent, beyond direct control. So now we know that the case study is in the very present moment, in our own hands, under supervision of our mindfulness, supported by the calmness of mind. So it's very clear experience. And because it's so clear, that is how our consciousness is awakened. If the message is not that clear, we never get wake up. We never be awakened. Because calmness of mind is too lame. Mindfulness is too buried. Even though it changed, we can't take notice of it. We can't acknowledge it that clear. Like sometimes before the body night, many of us here spend hours and hours practicing. Sometimes went to bed very late, have to wake up early in the morning. And you know that you can't wake up in the morning because last night really late, you set alarm clock. But in order to make sure that you wake up, you ask your friend, please wake me up. Because sometimes you throw away the alarm clock. And then your friend would like to wake you up, your friend have to say, go. You think he will wake up? Go! Bang! Now wake up immediately. We need that call. A very loud noise call. That means very clear message. Our consciousness, lack of mindfulness is blurry. When we have enough mindfulness, calmness of mind, the message is very clear. So we know that supported by this beautiful flower lungs, calmness of mind, happiness that happens every time is so impermanent. So consciousness know wholeheartedly this happiness that happened to us now, short life. So we don't want to throw expectation, the trap of desire attachment ahead of us, because we know that to have this flower lungs, relaxation, happiness, it depends on many conditions and factors, and now it changed. So don't expect the next breath to be like this, because when we expect, we hurt ourselves automatically. So that's why we slowly understand that better not to want what we want. Better not. Better do the best in the present moment. Do the best in the present moment. Try not to let want to come. Do the best in the present moment. Try not let desire to come. Because attachment come and unhappiness follow. So we have our breath, breathing in and out, and don't want to have desire. Still very happy here, but don't want desire to happen. Just enjoy that happy feeling. Breathe in and out and experience the end of unsatisfactoriness. We still smile and be happy. The lungs full of flowers. If people ask that, what do you want? I don't want anything. So you have no future. Thank you. That's what I want. I don't want to have future anymore. Correct? Because future comes from the word want, to be happy. Now happy is here. I know it's still impermanent. Why? You want to have future. And that's how the word end of samsara, nirvana. It means our own unhappiness finished. We don't talk about stop rebirth, stop reincarnation. It's too far for us to prove, to talk in detail. We just talk now. Now in this present moment, discover this inner happiness already. So this is the beauty of mindfulness with breathing. Breathe in and out and your friend's still smiling. Khan. You can see flowers in his lung. Khan, you have no future. Thank you so much. Because that means nirvana. That means enlightenment. No future, no want, no desire. Because I'm happy enough. Peaceful enough. No need to be worried about the future. So now in conclusion, what ties past, present, and future is atta, self, ego, I, me, my, wrong concept that come from our own instincts, because we don't know what we should know. So the Buddhist teaching throw in the systematical research, observe that because of this ignorance, that's how the mechanism of the mind work into direction to have feelings and desire attachment and form that ego. That's why we have problem that try to fill in our own desire, our own demand by that girlfriend, boyfriend, six packs, one pack whatsoever. But now we discover that the problem is not about the boyfriends. Sorry. The problem is our own demanding, our own I, me, my. So now we overcome it by know what we should know, and the cause of the problem is finished. So now we find this inner peace right into our own mind. So by this way, the dart then looking for target, no more dart. When you have no more dart, we don't need any more target. It's just liberation, inner peace. Any question?
Brahman.
Yes.
What you say about no future, contentment, peace, it goes totally against everything that we're taught, that we're encouraged to. We're encouraged to pursue, we're encouraged to achieve, we're encouraged to attain, we're encouraged to acquire, all these things. So it's very hard to change that. And I suppose it takes a long time and it's counterintuitive.
We don't say that done by the house, done by the car. We don't say divorce, kick out, kick that boyfriend out. We don't say that. We don't say that no future. Just to counteract the worldly fashion nowadays, as you say, our education say that you must pass the exam, you must have that graduation, you and you and you and you and you achieve this, achieve that in order to be happy. But we know wholeheartedly, no. What does world push us into that corner not necessarily means happiness. That's why we use a case study like Elon Musk or the wealthiest lady in Australia. What is her name? Forgot already.
Gina
Rehan. As a case study. That why these people still not stop, want more. Because they still not find the end of their own unhappiness. So we put a question mark, what we are doing in the world nowadays as fashion, conventional truth, is it worth? So we stop, pause, and rethink. So the word no future here, it just make a kind of saying in order to make people rethink. But in reality, it's about this mechanism. We still have to build a house, we still have to own a car, we still have to pay the bills. That is what we need to do. But we don't want this desire attachment to jump in until we got so much stress and so much worry. Because our education not have enough time for us. Luckily in Australia, luckily, that they allow these kind of spiritual teachings available to counteract the word I, me, mine. If there's no spiritual teachings to counteract this, it becomes just materialism, just for material, just for me. And that is why global warming is a big problem. Because I want to be happy, me and mine. And that's why World War II, World War I, and many wars in human civilization, all because of this word. Long time ago, when there's no social media, millions of people got killed in the war, but no one talked about it. Because it just happened in some place in Paris during that French Revolution. Who complained? Napoleon Bonaparte used a cannon, killed citizens, ladies and gentlemen, hundreds or thousands of them. No one complained. That is in the past. But nowadays, social media or whatever helped to stop. But still, I, me, mine. Happen like this. All the great warriors of the world, honored by many countries as hero. Look how many millions people they killed. Genghis Khan, hero of Mongolia. How many millions he killed? Correct? Alexander the Great, how many millions people he killed? But why we don't talk about that? Because the world focused on materialism. Why we don't talk about the one who tried to make peace? Why we don't talk about the person who give up their weapons, surrender. Because that against the instinct of average people. Any question? Yes, Coco, how much time do I have? Okay, yes, please.
Yeah. So, just reconciling Leo's question with your answer, where do we then draw the line between when, like you say, like it's okay to like pay our bills and it's okay to get a house, get a car, but where do we draw the line? When does that become a form of like desire, and where do we stop?
Can we buy the car with this smiling face? Can we drive the car with this smiling face?
can we have enough money to pay the car monthly, smiley face? Can we have enough money to pay the insurance? Can we have enough money to put the petrol with smiley face? Can we have enough money to pay the mechanic for maintenance? A smiley face? If not, don't buy a car.
In the monastery,
you know, ask him. They talk to the monk. Since 30 years ago, when we start monastery, we have the old Massey Ferguson track here. Really old, I think since World War I. And the monks still use it and have no break. If you want to break, select a good solid tree. And the monks prepare like a parachute jumping. Okay, ready everyone, the tractor going ready, we're going to stop now. 1, 2, 3, jump, dang. And I have dream for excavator. I dream for backhoe. That front end loader can dig and move the sand and the soil. At the back, so the backhoe can dig and move the thing. I've been dreaming for 30 years. Because once I have one, we collect the whole money for the whole year, buy the second hand or third hand or fourth hand. We call the front end loader backhoe and hydraulic brake, machine problem, mechanic problem, the whole year problem. Spent a lot of money to fix it. First I thought I got that backhoe, that mechanic, why am I going to have smiley face? But go opposite direction. So probably not save it, don't want to buy anymore. We know that big problem. Once we have that machine and we have no ability to maintain it, it creates big problem. That's why I'm gonna give up and build up the muscles. All the young monks here, don't worry if you don't eat meat. Thailand monks eat meat a lot because they believe protein from the meat make you like Arnold. What is it? I never be able to pronounce his family name. Arnold
Schwarzenegger.
Yeah. That.
I say no worry. Look, sandstone pagoda. The power of tofu. That's why the monks build the muscles to work for a backhoe. Yes, any question? Yes?
I just want to ask, is it not to want? To want? So is wanting others happy a kind of ego?
No, different. We want other people to be happy. Not related to I, me, mine. For example, Kim. I have to beg Kim, ask her, please Kim, can you help to fill up the form for visa for these 6 months? Please Kim, can you help to fill up a passport extension? Please, Kim, that monk got toothache and make a dentist appointment. Please, Kim, the cat need to see doctor. Please, Kim, wombat come kitchen every day, no carrot. They all almost eat the monks already. Please, 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 all the time. Kim is busy. She's grandmother already. Husband, children look after, and housework to do, a lot of work to do. Please, Kim, can you drive the monks today for sightseeing in the rain? Please, Kim, drive me to the Unibus. Even though we go back home by the time we get to Bananoon, it's 1 o'clock in the morning. Please, please, please. She did it. She has been doing it for 20 years, 30 years, for the happiness of all. That is not called want. This is, in English, very, because we don't have enough words. In Pali language, we call chanta willpower. Willpower, inspiration, good wishes. If we talk about tanha, means desire in very negative way, without any reason, really, just for I, me, mine. it starts from different sources. Tanha, craving related to I, me, mine, come from ignorance. But willpower, chanta, inspiration, wish to do, come from wisdom. So they end in a very different place. Someone come to the monastery, offer the Buddha, please, Buddha.
I would like to pass the exam, please. Tea, jasmine tea. Maybe you're not happy. Okay, black tea. Not happy, maybe VB. Or NSC. Or maybe pig head, better, pig head. Or barbecue.
Someone do good, but with craving, with ignorance, not with wisdom. So you can't call that is a good action at all. So everything starts with right understanding of wisdom. Okay. I think enough for today.